Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Holy Spirit, I ask that you would complete what you've started in every individual in this place tonight. That your voice would be strong, that your voice would be heard. Holy Spirit, I ask for you to have your way. That this is a night of expectation in you, Holy Spirit. Even now, I just sense you here in our midst. I'm asking for you to just flow through this place. You know what every person went through this day. You know their struggles. I just ask that you would come and you would just comfort, and that you would cause us to look at Jesus, the Beloved One. Even now, Lord, just ask, let it flow in every area of our life, that we would be surrendered to you, Jesus. Let it flow. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Cause our hearts to be free tonight and our minds renewed. Come, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. You guys go ahead. You can have a seat for a moment. For a moment. Well, tonight, there was a couple things that I feel like the Lord was giving me a couple options. And by the worship and by where we're at right now, I know that where I'm supposed to go very clearly, and that the word would be like a hammer in your life tonight. I also want to say this, that when we have an opportunity to sing to the Lord, when we have an opportunity, whether there's two or three or four, I'm really going to challenge all of you. Some of you may think you don't have a voice. I'm challenging all of you to lift your voice onto the Lord, to sing and let it just release it. And sometimes you think, well, maybe, you know, this just isn't flowing like how I flow, or this isn't my type of music. Listen, Jesus is available and ready in every type of creative music to touch your heart. And when you have vessels up here that desire to flow in that, now you've got like an open fountain. So I'm going to challenge all of you. Don't waste gatherings like this. Don't waste them. Sing. Sing. Sing to the Lord and release your voice to Him. Okay, I just want to encourage you to do that. Because he's real intimate with you guys tonight, isn't he? Yeah, he's right here. The Holy Spirit's right here. And sometimes I think that we try to, you know, if it's just this way or that way, then we can receive. We can receive any moment, any time of any day, any place, as we position our heart before the Lord. And when we position our heart before the Lord, there's all kinds of awesome things that begin to happen, called courage and confidence. And fear begins to leave. And we begin to understand, and we're drawn into that place. And so I'm going to read out of, I just hit this psalm today, and I'm going to read part of this psalm to you, Psalm 18. And then I'm going to go over to Psalm 27. And I want you to hear what David is saying. I want you to hear how he's just proclaiming his love for God. I want you to be encouraged today. I want you to know that David found out that if he had this intimacy, like we were singing and the proclamations we were making, and if that stuff is really real in our hearts, that all these things are possible within our life, as far as being confident and being courageous And knowing that God's got our back in every situation, that's what I want to live. That's how I want to live. I want to live knowing that I'm not living in fear, but I'm living in the confidence that He's got me. He's got me. You got to know He's got you. He has you. And He has all authority over your life if you let Him. Today it seems to be a real hard thing to trust God with people. The trust factor seems to leave us so often. But I'm telling you, David learned through a process to trust God. Now, you might not be all the way there yet, but you're in the process of your heart being prepared to trust Him in every season. I can't tell you anything better than that. I mean, I love when I see men and women even come in the prayer room for no purpose except to pray and just to be before the Lord. And I love when I look out and I see you guys worshiping and you're hungry. And if you feel like you're not hungry tonight, you need to ask Him, Lord, create that hunger in me to worship. I think it's really sad when we miss an opportunity, when we gather with brothers and sisters in Christ and we don't engage our heart to the Lord. We just like, okay, what time is it? I just think that's so sad. I feel like just about every circumstance that I've been in, I'm sure there's some that I haven't, but it doesn't matter what it was like, what denomination, wherever I went, I was always wanting to, okay, Lord, I want to sense You. I want to feel You. I'm hungry for You. And I think that when we can do that in a place of freedom, our heart's free to worship Him. Somebody could be like screaming and running around the room or flags, or they could be doing anything, but it was just like, okay, I'm here with You. That's what I'm encouraging you to do in your life. I'm encouraging you to be with Him. Whatever your day has been like, God wants you to finish strong this evening in Him. Trust Him. And the reason I guess I say that so much is because I'm so concerned about the days ahead, and knowing that I watch little things that throw me off and little things that throw other brothers and sisters off, and I'm thinking, gosh, that's not even real persecution or the shit, you know, gosh. And I'm not minimizing that. But I'm just saying God wants us to really move through that and into Him, into His embrace. When He embraces you, there's nothing like it. And He embraces you when you allow Him to embrace you. The fire, the fresh fire of God is wanting to be released upon you and your family, your friends. God's saying, will you get out of your phones? Will you get out of your distractions? Will you stop it? And will you get your eyes on me? Will you be more concerned about our intimacy than what people think about you? I mean, that's what He's saying. I know He's saying it. Because the first commandment is to love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Nothing else but Him above everything. And then your neighbor as yourself. Because when you can begin to love your neighbor as yourself, what happens is, man, you get dealt with, because it's hard sometimes to love your neighbor, right? But it's in the loving of your neighbor that you can begin to grow in love and grow in humility and meekness. It's when you can speak life into every situation, because you are a light and you're allowing that light to flow through you, that things begin to shift and change around your life. Who wants to dance? You know, if I said, let's just dance with Jesus. Let's just dance right now. Everybody, let's get up and dance. You know, I think that's possible. In the spirit, I think that's possible. And nobody would be making fun of anybody, because the spirit is so thick, you're just like, oh, Lord, you know. It says that in the house of the Lord that there's joy. There's not this stagnant boredom. Joy in the house of God when His presence is released and He's allowed to do what He needs to do in our lives. Not ritualistic, but relational. Amen. Now you look at 18, Psalm 18. And just a little bit, I just want you to read. When you have an intimate relationship with God, I mean, he's done it all at the cross. We know that. But the fact is that he will stand with you on your behalf. He will come to you. He will be there for you. And if you look at this, it says, this is David, and he just begins to release. Here he is in a psalm, the choir director, David, the servant of the Lord. And he releases, I love you. Verse 1, I love you, O Lord, my strength. You are my strength. Nothing else is my... I have learned through my journey that you are my strength. And that's what he's trying to teach every one of us. Not by might, not by power, by his spirit. In my weakness, he is strong. You are my strength in every season. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. David is making this proclamation, and you can make this same proclamation standing before the Lord, standing with God. You can make the same proclamation. You can put your name in there. He's my God. He's my God. Can you say that? My God. He's my God. He's my rock and my fortress. And my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take what? I take refuge. My refuge is not in trying to figure out to navigate through this world. My refuge is in God, and he will begin to open up gates. He'll begin to open up doors. He'll begin to open up all kinds of avenues that will begin to flood into your life because that's who your God is. But here's the deal. If you don't trust him, if you don't believe, if you shrink back and get into yourself and begin to isolate yourself and pull away from his truth and try to figure it out up here, then you're going to have all kinds of contingencies in your life. But when you trust him, he begins to take you through the process that you get stronger and stronger and stronger in your weakness because you know that he's got your back. And David is trying to convey that to us. David made mistakes. It was a process for him. Do you think that when he said, this one thing I desire is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, do you think that he just all of a sudden said that? I don't think so. I think that he was a daydreamer, and he was a dreamer of the things of God, and he had this desire always in his life. He's, even as a shepherd boy, he started desiring, this one thing. And guess what this one thing is? It's not just in the house of the Lord during his day. He lived to be about 70, and they think that he wrote Psalm 27 in his 40s sometime. He lived to be about 70 years old. He was talking about eternity too. He was talking about to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold his beauty, to look upon this one. The four living creatures that sing holy, holy, holy around the throne of God. You read that in Revelations 4 and 5. Those four living creatures, there's no other indication throughout the scripture that there's any other creatures made like those four living creatures. And they're the ones that sing continuously this holy, holy, worthy, worthy. And so when we can begin to position ourselves to behold his beauty, behold his love, it changes everything. We can trust that if God's wanting to bring someone into my life, that God will do that. If God is wanting me to move to another area, it's not based on me getting a job. It's based on the hands of God opening up a door. And then after I go there, God provides. That's how you trust God. You've got to almost back out of society to a certain degree and begin to live in a kingdom mindset and a kingdom understanding. And when you do that, it really works because the principles are true and it begins to happen in your life. But so much is jockeying for position in your life. So much offense. So many people need to be touched. Well, can I tell you this? He's going to touch a whole lot of people. He's already touched you, or you wouldn't be out here on a snowy night. Even if some of you were made to come. You're here because of a purpose that God has. And a destiny he has. And it's not to be on this pulpit, or it might be, but that's not the goal. The goal of Christianity is the learning how to become a servant and walk in the peace and the joy and the love of God continuously within your life. That's the joy of the Lord, to be a servant of all, to help people, to minister to people. To not think, oh, I want to be, you know, you got to serve me. It's not about that. It's about serving others. It's about giving. That was going to be one of the message I started with, about giving. And you give yourself away unto God. You give yourself away unto Him. I'm not taking up an offering tonight. But you give your first fruits to Him. You sow into the kingdom of God, into kingdom culture, into people, and into other ministries. You give yourself away. You live for the kingdom, and you begin to think, okay, I like a house. I like a sunset. It's awesome. It's His creation. But I gotta have Him before anything. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield. He's my shield and a horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. That's what you guys were doing tonight. You were praising Him. You were hungry. You were lifting your arms. You were there in that place. And if you weren't there, I encourage you to try to get there, because it's a wonderful place to be. Praise Him. And I am saved from my enemies. Who's going to deliver you from your enemies? Jesus. The cords of death encompassed me, and the torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, he got distressed, and he called upon the Lord. And I cried to my God for help, and he heard my voice. It says that he heard it even before it hit his ears. And then look at verse 10. David was in some huge distress in a battle when you study this chapter out a little bit. And it says that the Lord, look at this, he rode upon a cherub and flew, and he sped upon the wings of the wind to David. That's our God. He was in such a place, he flew upon a cherub. And he came down through all kinds of light and darkness, and there he was on David's behalf. Look at what Jesus did on our behalf. He came down, and he laid it absolutely all down. I have no answer for any problem except Jesus. I'm serious. Somewhere, someplace in this living word is the instruction and what I need in order to make it through other days, in order to counsel me. Now, I love facilitators that flow in the giftedness, because that's in the scripture completely and absolutely, and we flow together as a body of believers. And I love that. I love that. And it helps when you have somebody that'll listen, that'll love you, that'll pray for you. But my answer from the beginning to this day, standing here before you, all the days of me walking after God with the mistakes, the backsliding, the setbacks, I tell you, it's all about Jesus, and it will always be about Jesus, and He's going to be my answer for absolutely everything. So if the whole world turns upside down, my life is not based on who gets elected. I'm praying about that, but my life is not based on that. It's rooted and grounded in the love of God and the trust of God. Okay. That's just an awesome scripture. That's all I'll say. Okay, turn to Psalm 27. I was reading through this today, and I was just looking at the result of trust and faith. I just wrote, like, real quick, 10 things down that I was looking through this psalm, and it said there was no dread, there was no fear in his life. His enemies were going to stumble. He was confident. He beheld the beauty of the Lord. He will protect me in all my troubles. He will lift me up, my head above my enemies. He's my helper. The most violent come after me, and I don't despair, but I stand in the place of strength and being courageous. Look at Psalm 27. And you know, this is old covenant, not new covenant. We got the Holy Ghost living in us. My word. We're going to be some kind of warriors here pretty soon. Because the fire of God is going to, this isn't it. The fire of God and the return of Christ is going to be amazing. But the outpouring of the great harvest is, I believe it's upon us. I want to make myself ready for that. I don't want to isolate myself or pull back. I want to move toward God. And most of that moving toward God is in the secret place. When no one else is looking. Psalm 27, how powerful. The Lord, David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. He's the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? What a relationship he must have had. When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and they fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall remain confident. And this is the verse I want you to look at. And he says, one thing I've asked from the Lord, that shall I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. When we see that scripture is pretty easy to make a poster or put it up on the wall. But to live that right there, it brings conflict to everything within our lives. That we would begin to dwell before the Lord and in the house of the Lord. I think that there's a progression that David went through to have that kind of single-mindedness to really say, this is the desire of my heart. I've been daydreaming about this all my life. When you begin, I've seen so many people come and go, even in the house of the Lord, and they'll be so fired up, you know, at the beginning and including myself. And then it goes on for a while, and then all of a sudden you get wore out and you kind of pull back and you don't see a whole lot happening, you know. But it's something that's deep down within us that we have to come to a conclusion, because this is a powerful statement by David. All the decisions throughout his life kind of led him to this place. And I believe that that's happening with you also. One thing I have desired of the Lord. And I guess the point I'm making, that isn't an automatic statement. It's the fruit of the years of trials and walking through things, and you get to that place and you know that he's your all in all and you need nothing else. It doesn't happen automatically. It's a reality of your heart being exposed and moved toward God. For a man to say he's my beloved bridegroom, conquering king, that just doesn't make sense to anybody. Unless you're living in the Spirit and you're walking in the Spirit and you understand the Word of God and you understand it's talking about this intimate covenant between God and his people. Like how he prayed in John 17. I'm still pursuing this. Pursuing this today. And I believe that the Holy Spirit will work this over time, that his house will be a burning place of his presence with people praying and worshiping. And that presence will be such a refuge for people to come into. We're all houses of prayer, right? Okay, it has a temple, right? Everybody agree? But when we get together, we're one big house, aren't we? And when we saturate a point of destiny with prayers and worship continuously. Some of you in here don't believe you need to have your faith encouraged. It's like, is it ever going to happen that there'll be a burning furnace of prayer and worship day and night, night and day in this region? I want to encourage you that yes, that's God's heart for us. That's God's heart for this region. And everyone is going to come into that place, wherever it is. And I'm sure there'll be other houses of prayer. But he wants to abide within our midst. Amen? Really does. I just got a couple other things here. And then we're going to close it down. The phrase that he says, the word desire. Again, it didn't just happen. It was a continual desire, a daydream of his to be in before the Lord. Many people, you know, can daydream about sin. But this is daydreaming about being in the presence of the living God. Now that's really, really different. But I believe the Holy Spirit is beginning to cause people to have holy daydreams. That the Holy Spirit is beginning to ignite people's heart to say, this is, you know, I want to know him in such a way. I believe the Holy Spirit is awakening the body of Christ, the bride. I don't believe it's for any man or woman's agenda to build a big ministry. I believe it's because God is preparing his bride and wanting to make her ready, because soon and very soon the Son is coming back. Soon and very soon. So I want to encourage you tonight that you are in a good, good place when you seek after him, when you're hungering for him, when you're worshiping him. It's a process. Let it just take over your heart and your whole life. Because it's amazing. I can't preach a 5-point sermon to you. I could, but I just can't. I don't know if that makes sense to you. I'm not saying that 5-point sermons are bad. They're not. But I think it's just such an hour that men and women need to trumpet and just stir people up and say, go after him with all your heart. Run after him with everything you've got. It's all about Jesus. It always will be. Start shifting things in your life and trusting him. Don't go back, you know, well, this is a biggie. I don't know if I can trust him in this one. No, trust him in it. Give it all to him. Let me give you a little navigation. When you begin to trust like that, it gets the enemy's attention, okay? And so he's going to try to cause you to begin to back away. And he's going to try to see there, I told you, God didn't come through for you. That happens all the time. But because you begin to build your place, yourself in the place of intimacy, when that begins to happen, it bounces off of you. Because in the place of intimacy, just like David could have wrote Ephesians 6, couldn't he? Finally, brethren, be strong, put on the full armor of God. Don't you think David had it? David had the full armor of God, and he understood that how God was on his side, that even God got on a cherub and came down to deliver him. Did you know that was in the scripture? Isn't that wild? God did that? Yeah. It's no different. Matter of fact, it's much, much more that Jesus came down and delivered us. It's amazing. And I want to encourage all of you to go deep in the Word and read the Word and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you in it. Because that's going to get you through. That's going to be your fuel. Thank you so much, Michael, for playing. Why don't you guys stand? I just want to be in a place of prayer right now. I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit to come. Before you leave, I'm going to read Psalm 27 over you. If you need to close your eyes, then not be distracted. Just open your hands to receive. Oh, Lord. Be gracious to them. These men and women. Be gracious. Sense it now. That their desire is to walk in your truth and not sit with deceitful men and women. Come. No more walking and moving with people that are pretenders of the gospel. Lovers of Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, God. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Dismiss you. The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? Verse 1 of Psalm 27. Verse 2. When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear in my circumstances. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. I'm believing this for us, God. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. For in that day of trouble, in that day of trouble, He will conceal me in His tabernacle, in the secret place of His tent, He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in His tent sacrifices and shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, shall I seek. David said, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in any anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. And he says, teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me. And such as breath out breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then 14, I just pray it over us. Lord, may we be able to wait upon you, that we wait for the Lord, and that we become strong, and we let our hearts take courage, and we wait upon you. For you are our strong tower, and you are our stronghold, and we love you. So, Lord, take what happened here even tonight by the Holy Spirit, and I just pray fresh fire and breath and movement in the hearts of men and women, in Jesus' name. Amen.